Father, thank you, Lord. Just come and just have your way in our midst, Lord. Just minister by your power and your spirit. Just minister your truth to us. We are here before you at your feet, Lord Jesus, waiting to hear your words to us. And our hearts are open to you. We pray you would just minister truth and life. Life today. Lord, we realize that it's muggy in here. But you're worthy of it, Lord. Lord, we would sit through hell to sit at your feet. We would go through the very pit, God, to come to you, because in you is eternal life, Lord. And we just thank you, God. And we pray you would minister, Lord, right now in this place. Minister life right now. Bring your rivers of life in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is going to be an interesting question that I plan to ask. The question is, do you believe that Christians have the authority over the elements of nature? Do you believe that Christians have authority over the elements of nature? A lot of people saying yes. How many people would say yes? How many people would say no? Let me see the yeses again. All right, well, would some of you, one of you somewhere, please rebuke the humidity that's in the room right now? Thank you, Roy. Amen. Woo! Yes, sir. Thank you. Amen. Why not? Why not? Why not be bold? Why not dare to dream that God could even move in a situation like this and bring refreshment? Amen? Yes. Praise God. If you need a little help for your faith, I got a cup of cold water here. I can just kind of, you know, prime the pump a little bit of your faith. Just raise your hand if you need a little boosh. No takers. Okay. It's an interesting question, though. I mean, when you consider, do Christians have authority in Christ over the elements of nature? How many people have ever heard of John Wimber? Most people. He was a very popular author and speaker. He's gone on to be with the Lord, but he founded, or more or less spearheaded, a real revival of God, particularly in the gifts of the Spirit. John Wimber was teaching a series of messages about Christ's authority over the elements of nature. He was talking about the various miracles that Jesus did in terms of working with the elements of nature. And he was doing this series in his home church in California. He'd finished the third installment of that. The following week he would have the last one, the fourth one. But in between he had a speaking engagement out in Colorado. So in the middle of the week he goes out, flies out to Colorado. He's in Denver, which is Mile High City, which is like 5,000 feet above sea level. Now, I've never lived in Colorado. RJ has. But from what I hear, storms can appear, bam, out of the blue. I mean, even in spring, you can get these snowstorms that just appear. You wake up in the morning, it's beautiful. All of a sudden, the snow comes tumbling down, and then by the end of the day, maybe everything is different. RJ, is that true? Okay. Yeah, and John Miller was saying, you know, places like Denver, you can get 20 inches of snowfall just, bam, out of the blue in the middle of spring. So here he is in May of 1982. He's in Denver, Colorado. He's in this speaking engagement. He's in between messages at his home church, and he's in Denver. And all of a sudden, that's exactly what happens. He gets one of these springtime sudden storms that dumps, like, you know, massive snowfall on Denver, shuts down the airport, shuts down the major highways. Traffic comes to a crawl. Nobody's getting in and out of the city. And of course, he's in the middle of teaching this series about Christ's authority over the elements of nature. So he decides, well, I'm going to pray against this thing. And so for 2 days straight, he rebuked the storm. He just prayed over that thing and just commanded the elements of nature to dissipate. And nothing happened. So Sunday morning comes. He's stuck in Denver. He calls his home church, and his co-pastor, Bob Fulton, answers the phone. He says, John, he explains the situation. Here I am stuck in Denver. He's like, okay, well, you know, we'll deal. Don't worry about it. And Bob Fulton gets in front of the congregation. He stands there and he says, I have to tell you that Pastor John won't be able to preach today. He says, a storm has hemmed John in the Rocky Mountains, and he won't be able to tell us about the authority of Christ over nature. He said by the time, you know, it took so long for the laughter to die down for them to continue the service. It was just ridiculous. And for years after that, nobody would let him forget it. You know, hey, John boy, how about that snow? Heard you were praying, buddy. What happened? But life is not always like that. There's another guy. How many people have heard of Peter Wagner? See Peter Wagner? A couple people? Handful? Okay. Again, another popular charismatic author and professor. I think he was out at Fuller Seminary. Peter Wagner was at a conference over in Switzerland, a conference on world evangelism. This is in like 1984. He's in Switzerland with a bunch of these, you know, really high up leaders in the church, and they're just talking about world evangelism. How can we get the gospel out to the world? And all of a sudden, they hear the report that Hurricane Diana has formed out in the Atlantic. Started as a tropical storm, grew into a full-fledged hurricane. It was heading for North Carolina. They predicted horrible loss of life and massive property damage. It looked like it was going to be an absolute disaster. The wind speed had gone up to 135 miles an hour. It's headed straight for North Carolina. And one of Peter Wagner's friends, Leighton Ford, was at the conference. He says, man, my home is out there in North Carolina. This thing is heading straight for us. So one of the other girls said, well, we ought to pray against this thing. So that's what they did. They stopped the conference and everybody just got together and rebuked the storm and prayed over it in the name of the Lord. And they lifted their voices and lifted their spirits and took command and took authority over that thing. And do you know that that hurricane all of a sudden changed course and did a complete loop out in the Atlantic, away from North Carolina? It came around full circle, but by the time it was headed for North Carolina again, it had gone down from a Category 4 to a Category 2, finally just to a tropical storm. It hit inshore. There was some property damage, but, I mean, no catastrophic loss of life like they were thinking about. In fact, three people died from the hurricane. One guy because he had a heart attack while he was preparing for the storm. He got so busy getting his house ready against the storm, they had a heart attack and died. And the other two people had traffic accidents in the middle of the hurricane. I don't know what they were doing driving out there, but, you know, oh well. So, do Christians have authority over the elements of nature? How many people say yes? Okay, we're still on the same page. Awesome. Awesome. What we want to look at today is a case in Scripture where Jesus Christ exercised His authority over the elements of nature. And this thing has many layers of truth. But as we dig down through these layers of truth, I think we're going to find something that goes way beyond the elements of nature, down to the very heart of where we live and in our relationship with God and our expectations, when sometimes our expectations get shattered and life just doesn't make sense and the things that we had trusted in all of a sudden are crumbling all around us. But it started out on the Sea of Galilee. We're going to look at Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. As we go through the Gospel of Mark, we come up on this amazing story. Jesus had been out there teaching all day long, healing people, delivering people. Evening had come. And it brings us to this passage here. Mark 4, 35. And it says this. On the same day when evening had come, He said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was. And other little boats were also with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke Him, and they said to Him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?